The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And we began a series on Sunday, which is titled Natural Food and Spiritual Food. Amen. You know, those are the two kinds of food you have. You have the natural and you have the spiritual. You know, both foods are needed. They have their different applications. But the one is more important. It's more consequential. Amen. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, now I want you to notice in the book of Hebrews, it says all the things that happened to the people in the wilderness, they are examples to us. They are examples to us in the New Testament that we are to learn from them. You know, the Bible talks about that they went through the cloud, isn't it? You know, they were baptized. And today we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And even though they went through that baptism, they still doubted God. So he said we should learn from them and not be in unbelief. So this is an example of something we need to learn from. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. So the word of God, which is the commandment of God, is for living. It is to give us life and to bring us increase. And it says, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Next verse. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. So God was leading them, and he was expecting them to be humble, in the sense that they would depend on God. They would not depend on their own ability, their own effort. You know, God can do everything he needs to do in your life without your effort, without you lifting a hand. Now, that's the humility. You see, God, when God asks us to do things, it's because he's involving us. He wants our participation. In fact, he wants to make you look good. But we must never think that what we are doing is what is making God do what he does. That's important, that you may know. It will humble you. The humility is seeing the fruitlessness of human effort. Are you seeing this? That to see that it is not by human effort that God does anything. In fact, the very salvation we have, it is not by our effort. There is nothing we could have done. And these people are still an example because they did a lot of things that they could have used to deserve salvation. Because they had to do a lot of work, a lot of sacrifices, which we don't have to do. It is proof that your effort is not what God needs to do what he needs to do. So when God asks us to use effort or to do things, we should not see those things as the means by which God does it. It is so that we can participate in what he's doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that clear? Because this is how grace works. Some people are not enjoying grace because we are still thinking what we would do. And we will see as we go along. So to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart. So God wants to know what's in our heart. The Bible lets us know, is it 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, God, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So God is always looking at the heart. So how is God going to know what's in your heart? This is it. Whether you will keep his commandment, that is, whether his word will be priority to you. So God is only able to determine what is in your heart when he sees your attitude towards his word. My attitude towards his word is how God will know what's in my heart. You know, so I can try and do a lot of things. Can you imagine so many things I can do to try and let God know that I really love him? But God is saying the way I will know these people is how your attitude, your posture towards my word. Hallelujah. Verse 3. So he humbled you. He uses that word again. He humbled them. You know how God humbled them? He provided everything they needed without them doing anything. He opened the Red Sea. They couldn't have opened the Red Sea. That's humbling. Because the natural man, our flesh, wants to do something. Did you know that? Because when you do something, then you feel proud, isn't it? But that's what God wants to take out. So that by the time you are doing something, you are counting on what? The grace of God. Knowing that God could have done it without you doing anything. Wow, that's powerful stuff. So he humbled you, and then he allowed you to hunger. And I said on Sunday that hunger is not a bad thing. This hunger, there's a reason for the hunger. The hunger, what does hunger do to you? Hunger lets you know that you need food. Now, if you need food, food is, what do you really get from food? Natural food. You get nourishment. You get energy. And energy is life. So God wants them to know something. He's bringing out something here. He wants them to realize that anytime you hunger, you see a need for food, food that will bring you what? Life, that will give you energy, that will give you strength, and that will give you life. So God caused them to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Now, God, now, the title of today's message, the subtitle is Manna from Heaven. Manna from heaven. We really want to begin to see what manna really means. What is the purpose of manna? You see, he fed them with manna. Why that? Why didn't God just turn the sand in the desert into food? Why didn't he, you know, there are sands and stones in the wilderness, the grasses in the wilderness. Could God have turned them to food? Oh, yes, but he didn't. He particularly sent manna, which you did not know. And your fathers did not know. That he might do what? He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. Because if he brought something that exists on earth, your eyes will be on earth. You will be earthly focused. He wanted them to be heavenly focused. That their supply is not from here. That all the rigors and the tension and the force and all of the things you do on earth is inconsequential when God wants to move. So God didn't use any other thing that they had, which he could have used. He sent them manna that you may know that man does not live by what? Bread alone. Because the way you will know is that this thing came from heaven. So the way I will live is by what comes from heaven. My life existence is not based on the things of this earth. It is based on heaven's supply. And that what God is bringing out here, he is already introducing Jesus to these people because manna is a type of Christ. And we will see. It's a type of Christ. And so for our salvation, no person on earth could bring us salvation. God had to send his son from where? From heaven. His manna. In fact, the Bible calls him the true bread. He's the true bread. So everything on earth you see on earth is nothing when you consider the heavenly supply. Hallelujah. Because everything gets its source from heaven. How did you get food on earth? The Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there everything came from the word. So when the word comes from heaven, the word is all you need. Because the word will give you everything you need for life and for sustenance. Praise God. So he's bringing out something here that you may know the man does not live by bread alone. And we said that bread alone is talking about is natural food, isn't it? So we need natural food for the body, but he wants them to be aware that is another food. And that is the spiritual food. You need it. And a lot of the people in the world today, the reason people are going on about the world and being proud and thinking we've achieved so much, we've invented so much, you see, they are proud. They're not humble because they're not aware of spiritual food. And so they think they are living, but they don't have life. They're just existing. until you eat of that manna from heaven. That's when life comes. You see what he says, man does not live. In fact, he says, man, is it does, he says, shall. So that's a strong word. Shall not. You don't attempt to live by natural things. Don't attempt to see the source of anything in your life to come from natural things. You say, shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So we know that bread is the natural food. And what is the spiritual food? The word, the word, the word. Church is about the word. Serving God is about the word. It's about knowing that I'm not existing for natural things. I'm not living by natural things. I need spiritual food. I need it for my existence. I need it for my living. I need it for life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And God tests your heart. He knows what's in your heart by your attitude towards his word. That's the way he will know. My attitude. Praise God. So he sent them manna that they will know what? That man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And we say this scripture, there is a scripture that correlates with this scripture, and that's in Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Our Lord Jesus had fasted and he was hungry. He fasted for 40 nights, 40 days and 40 nights. And we see that the people were in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. And so we see here that it's a correlation with that. Verse 3. He was hungry. The Bible says he caused them to be what? To be hungry. And verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, this is important. Did Jesus need natural food? Oh, yes, he did. But what is happening here, you see, why the word is important, because he is not supposed to yield to any word that proceeds from the mouth of Satan. You see, man does not live by what? By bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, from God. It's God's word we live by. This is a very, it looks very small, but it's big. Because if he had yielded to Satan, he would have disobeyed and annulled that word. That said, you don't live by. See, the word from Satan is bread alone. You know what Satan was trying to get him to do? To focus on his earthly need. His natural need. So his natural need will supersede the spiritual need. So the natural is pointing to the spiritual. God uses your natural reality to point to the spiritual reality. And so Jesus was conscious of that. And, you know, there are many times, you know, even as a believer, there are many things we do based on natural ideas, natural philosophy. Now, Apostle Paul says, not the philosophy of man, amen, but the wisdom of God. And so our Lord Jesus was so conscious of the word that he said, he replied, he said, when he came, he said, turn the, and you know, the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus could turn the stone into bread. Just like God could have turned stones in the desert into food for them. But he chose to do what? To send manna from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And I said to you, there are certain things, when you go for the word, you can have certain things that are presented to you by the world, and you will refuse them. See, sometimes people call things miracles. They go after signs and miracles and all of that. But whenever, you see, that's the reason people are deceived, because people don't check that it lines up with the word. It must line up with the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, even if it produces something that looks good, you reject it. I believe it's 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I'm not sure. Asa, King Asa, and then the prophet Hanana. That is the scripture where it says, the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro, seeking whom he will show himself strong on their behalf. Now, go and read that scripture. That's not the end of it. The end of that verse, it says, but from today, from now, you will have wars. But we don't quote that part. You see, the eyes of the Lord, they are running to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those who trust with what? What's the scripture? Whose heart is towards him, that is, they are wholehearted towards him. The reason was he was speaking to Asa. Asa had already won battles with the help of God. He defeated the Egyptians. He defeated many, many, many nations. And then there was a time that the king of Israel, he was the king of Judah, the king of Israel formed an alliance with another king, I can't remember his name, against him. So he chose not to go to God. He chose to meet that king because if I can go to that king who is against the king of Israel, I've got the king of Israel. I will defeat him. So he formed an alliance with that king. So that king turned against the king of Israel and he won. He won. He defeated the king of Israel. Then God said to him, because you have chosen to do it by forming an alliance with man rather than coming to me, I defeated all these enemies for you, but you chose not to come to me. He said, fine, you want to fight wars? From now, you will have wars. That God is looking for those that he will show himself strong. God is not looking for people who will be strong on his behalf. You see, that is, in your flesh, you can't be strong on God's behalf. Say, no, I want to be strong for God. No, God doesn't need that. He's looking for people who will stay steadfast on him and his word, and he will show himself strong on their behalf. Hallelujah. So you see some people, they will have some successes, but they keep having turmoil and troubles, and they keep fighting. They say, oh, I want it. And then they have another fight, because they are not depending on God. Their eyes are not stayed on God. They're using their human effort. Are you getting something out of this? Remember Gehazi and Elijah, after Naaman was sent and he got healed? Elisha, I believe. Gehazi went and took gifts from Naaman. What is he doing? He's not realizing that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. God has always supplied his need, himself and the prophet's need, but now that he saw this man, the man was presenting him with gifts, he wants to take that. He's doing exactly the opposite of what the Lord Jesus is doing. Trusting in man. And Elisha said to him, is it a time to take gifts? Remember Abraham and the king of Sodom? The king of Sodom was going to give him the spoils. You know, he said to him, I've raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. You see, he has spiritual heaven-mindedness. They are conscious of the supply from heaven. So no one will dissuade them and let them settle for natural food over spiritual reality. The spiritual reality has to be what is foremost in our hearts, and that will give us a guide on the kind of things that we receive and we don't receive. He said, I will not receive anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. You see now, Abraham is conscious of heaven's supply. That's the reason, you know, Pastor Inga was talking about Abraham and Lot. What made Lot to look and choose? Because he's only conscious of natural supply, just his bread. He's living by bread alone. That's how I live. I have no spiritual consciousness, no spiritual reality. This is the only way my life will work. This natural ability, this ability to see and focus, this strategy of being able to look at it and know what is best for me. I know it. That's the way I work. But you know, the Bible says, after Lot had departed, you see, because Abraham is looking forward to heaven. Man shall not live by bread, but by every word. So what did he have? God said, from this place, you should look. How did he live? By the word of God. The Bible says, Lot chose for himself. Oh, I don't want to choose for myself. I am not wise enough to choose for myself. You know, it is actually wisdom to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. If every believer realizes, the church will be packed with people hungry for the word. Hallelujah. There's another scripture that lines up with this. It follows this. So there's the first one is Deuteronomy 8. There's Matthew 4. Let's look at John 6. It's the same thing happening. In John 6, when you read from verse 1, we're not going to read it. What did Jesus do? He turned the food for a boy, five loaves and two fishes. He turned them to multitudes. We multiplied them. Multiplied. So the people had so much to eat. So when the people look at Jesus, what do you think they are thinking now? They're thinking bread now. Because they live by bread alone. And so anybody who can supply bread for us, that's life. That's life. They don't realize that this bread is limited. The only thing that can satisfy your spirit and satisfy your life is the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the only thing that can satisfy us, because we are spirits. God made us. We are made after him. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And when God made man, you know, when he formed him, the Bible says, after he formed him, from where? From the sand, from the dust. And what happened to him? He was just there. Breathless, lifeless. And then God did what? He breathed into him the breath of life. So what do you think will sustain that life? The life of God. Where is the life of God? In the word of God. So you can't be sustained. You see, the food you are eating is just for that thing that was lifeless. All of the things that we have on this earth, all the physical things, cars, houses, and all of that, they can never fulfill your spirit. They can never satisfy you. Amen? They can't. Because they are part of this bread body. And so the natural food, the natural reality, we are satisfied through receiving the spiritual food which will satisfy our souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it's really looking beyond this earth. Because we are here, we look down. But we are supposed to look up. In fact, when Jesus was going to multiply the fishes and the loaves, what did he do? Heavenwards. Did Jesus have the power to do it without looking up to heaven? Oh, yes. But he knows that man shall not live by bread alone. I'm not going to try and do it with my natural ability. I'm going to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. John chapter 6, verse 25 says, and when they found him, so now Jesus has left. This is like the second day now. They found him on the other side of the sea. They said to him, Rabbi, that's teacher, when did you come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign. That is, now, this is what this means. It means that sign of multiplying food is to show you something. That what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. But no, they are actually thinking bread instead of thinking every word. So when they came to him, he said, seek me not, but because you saw, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves. What's the loaves? Bread. And were filled. Next verse. Do not what? Labor. Don't stress yourself over natural things. Don't labor for it. Don't force your life. Don't try to stress and force. And this reality, see, in the context of the message of grace, this is powerful. Because a lot of people are doing things because they think that is how they will get their fulfillment. That is how they will get contentment. That is how they will get satisfaction. It will never satisfy. Don't labor for it. The food which what? Which perishes. Everything that is natural, everything that is of the body, everything that is of the earth perishes. Well, you know, the spirit doesn't perish. You know, people who receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we know they're going to be with the Lord Jesus. And people who do not receive him, they're still going to exist, isn't it? Because the spirit cannot die. So it's just where we'll be located that is different. Amen? But they will also live on. because it's the life of God. So it says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. What does it mean? When you make a product and put a seal on it, what does it mean? That is the real one, the authentic one. That is, no other food will satisfy you. The only food that the Father has recognized, has put his logo and his stamp on, is Jesus. And that's the Word of God. So for me as a believer, when I come to church, when I'm living my life, I'm studying the Word of God. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm focusing on the Word of God, because it's the only thing that has God's seal on it. The Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Verse 28. Let's keep going. It gets exciting. Hallelujah. Then they said to him, what shall we do? What did I just say to you? There's nothing you can do to end this. So they're still thinking. Why is this? Because anytime you are after natural things, you have to do something. If your focus is natural, if your focus is on maybe building houses, making money, and that's your focus, you know you'll be thinking, what can I do to get it? But if your focus is on heavenly food and the Word of God, you know that in that Word will everything come to you. And you receive guidance on what to do. And when you do it, you will not boast in yourself, because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. You see the way it works now. It's not starting from your work, it's starting from the Spirit. Your work accompanies it. Praise God. So he said, then they said, what shall we do that we may walk the works of God? Now you think that these people really love God. But what they are thinking is, what shall we do to get bread? You see, thinking bread, natural. See, so because you think, oh, they want to do the works of God. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him he has sent. That is, this is the work of God. So believing Christ, and Christ is what? The Word, Jesus is the Word. Believing him. See, they are looking at the work of God. The work of God is the manna that came from heaven. That's God's work. And you believe in him whom he has sent. Verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign? Can you see now? See, what we will do, what sign? There's no sign better than the manna that you are seeing right now. That's why Jesus said, you didn't come to me because you saw the sign, but because you ate food, that your focus is still on food. You're not seeing that that food that was multiplied is to get you to focus on God. He says, sign you will perform then that we may see it. Now, what are the signs? That's why I said to you on Sunday, signs and miracles can never satisfy a person. No amount of wonders or miracles will ever make a person satisfied and will ever make them know God. The only way that you can know God is how? His Word. It's his Word. Praise God. You know, I don't think anybody has seen signs and miracles and wonders like the children of Israel. But they still did not believe. Okay, now after you've seen fish and loaves multiplied, why are you still asking what sign you will show us? You know what going for natural food, what it does? It creates a craving that can never be satiated. Anytime you are longing for anything on this world, in this earth, it will keep creating more craving. You keep longing for more. And that craving will never be. Have you ever seen anybody who has been craving things and they say, oh, I've had enough now? No. But the person who is desiring spiritual food, who is living by what comes out of the mouth of God, even though they don't see anything, they are content. How? How can you explain that? Because the real person, the spirit, is being fed. They are not neglecting their spirit because they are feeding their flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they say, what sign will you show us that you will perform? Then we may see it and believe you. What work will you do? Jesus just told them the work of God is to do what? Is to believe. So they're still asking. We want performance. And this is something we have to be mindful of as Christians. Many times, you know, we go after, you know, performances, spectacular. Jesus is letting them know that it's not about the spectacular. It's about staying on my word. Getting the word. If you get the word, I'm telling you, life will flow effortlessly. You will not need to be constantly needing a bailout. Emergency. Did you know that miracles are emergencies? Did you not know that? And they are needed, but they have to follow you. You are not to follow them. Hallelujah. So miracles will become normal to you. They become a normal way of life because you are not seeking them. You are seeking the food that will endure and satisfy. Hallelujah. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 31. Our fathers ate what? Manna. You see, now we're coming back to manna again. You see, so they're doing the same thing that those people did in Deuteronomy. They were after manna. They were constantly after their own needs. When they needed water, they murmured. When they needed food, they murmured. When Moses didn't turn up on time, Moses went to get the word for them. They can't wait for the word. What did they do? They made an idol for themselves. And that's what it is. You see, if you don't seek the word, you will make an idol for yourself. You will turn something else to your God. Your house will be your God. Your job will be your God. Everything else, because that's all you are for. You see, what you put your effort in becomes your God. And so now they are doing exactly the same. They are referring to those people. How can you refer to people who didn't do the right thing? Why not refer to Jesus that they are seeing? Just believe the one you're seeing now. Say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They are even quoting scriptures. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And we read in Deuteronomy, what was the reason he gave them manna? To humble them, that they will know man does not live, shall not live by bread alone, but they are quoting it, but they're not finishing the quote. Because their mind is on, he has multiplied food. We don't have to do what, you know, we just need to maybe find a boy. Every time we look for a boy who has little food, we give him, he'll multiply it, then our lives will be made. We are made for life. But that's not why Christ came. He came so that you will receive him into your heart and you will have everlasting life. Life that transcends this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, you will eat this bread and you will perish in it. But there is one that you will never die. For how long will we live on this earth? Okay, let me give you 120 years. Will anyone take that? 120 years is nothing compared to eternal life, eternity, nothing. And so we must not be focused on what we will do for 120 years and be satisfied with all the enjoyment of 120, and we lose count of eternity, the one that will last forever. It's spiritual food. We are here to get the word. The word transcends every other thing. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many believers are malnourished. Many believers are starving because they are starving their spirits. What you need is to keep getting the word and never get, you know, I don't want us to raise children who will be like some adults today, some adult Christians who have been 20 years in the Lord, and they are running from one prophet to another. There are people waking up at night trying to say, oh, Lord, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me. It's because they don't realize that what you need for that satisfaction to come, for that contentment to come, is the word. Man shall not live by bread only. It's the word. It's the key thing. So he gave them bread from heaven. Look at what Jesus said. This is talking about, he's comparing the natural food and the spiritual food. Next verse, quickly. Thank you, Lord. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say, he keeps saying most assuredly, hallelujah. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. Keep going. It says, my Father gives you what? So there is bread, and there is bread, true bread. For the bread of God, hallelujah, is he who comes down from heaven and give what? Gives life to the world. The bread that we have here cannot give you life. But the word gives you life. Every time you receive, see, as you're receiving the word of God today, it's reviving your body, reviving your soul, reviving your mind. You need it. We need the word. Hallelujah. Next verse. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. What is happening now? They're still thinking. See, they are completely focused on the natural. Completely. They still don't get it. He just told them the bread from heaven. They're still thinking natural bread. Verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am that spiritual food that you need. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Now, the hunger he's talking about here is that once you discover Jesus, you will constantly be fed. Hallelujah. So what happens is you have a lot of people that have hunger for spiritual things. You know, they have hunger, they're desiring things. They don't know the hunger they have is for Jesus. People don't realize it. Jesus is the only person who can meet and fulfill and sustain and satisfy their hunger. But they don't realize it. Say, so you will never hunger again. You've been going about helter-skelter. You won't go helter-skelter again once you take of this food, this manna. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Praise God. I say, praise God. You know, there's so much loaded in this, but because of time and it is so loaded. He is the manna from heaven. He is the spiritual food that we need. You know, our lives, life is not defined by the things you have. It's not defined by the things we possess. God gives us things to enjoy. But we have to recalibrate our minds right now and begin to desire the food, that food from heaven. The manna from heaven that satisfies. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You read that scripture, he repeats it over and over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Let us pant for that spiritual food. Let us desire the word. You know, the more you desire the word, the more satisfied you are. The more satisfied you will be. A believer should not constantly be longing. You know, Jesus said, beware of greed, covetousness. What does that mean? You know, greed means that you don't know when it's enough, isn't it? You never know when it's enough. You know, you can have 100 houses and it's not enough. But the reason they keep you getting more and more of it, you're thinking, if I have the next one again, I'm going to be satisfied. The one I have another one. Otherwise, you wonder, have you never wondered that people have houses all over the place and they only maybe go there once a year? And you're wondering, wow. Well, you shouldn't wonder until you have enough money. And let's see what you will do. But once you are satisfied, you will know that you don't need to keep craving and desiring those things. Because Jesus is the bread of life. He's the manna from heaven. Brothers and sisters, let's continue to desire the word of God. It is the only thing that can satisfy. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.